Okay, we're starting on Daf Mem Hey Amud Aleph. We are at the Mishnah, which begins the topic of Zimun. Today's Daf is Daf Mem Hey. Shlosh Shlachu Ka'echas. If three ate together, the three people ate a meal together, then Chayavon Lazami, when they finish the meal, it's not that they each say separately the three blessings of Birkas HaMazon. They need to add to their Birkas HaMazon with the invitation of Zimun, of somebody inviting the rest to join in. Achal Dmai, let's say two people ate bread and the third person ate Dmai. Now Dmai is the produce of Ami Haratzim. Most Ami Haratzim separate Shumos and Maisos, but some do not. And generally we have a fear that they didn't separate Shumos and Maisos, and we say you shouldn't normally eat it. We'll see, poor people are allowed to eat Dmai. So let's say they had eaten Dmai, or Maisa Rishon Shenitlu Trumas, or Maisa Rishon, that's the 10% given to the Levi that the Trumas Maiser that's supposed to be given to the Kohen was taken away from it. Maisa Sheini, or if what they had eaten was the second tithe, which is supposed to be brought to Jerusalem, eaten there, or redeemed, and then eaten out of Jerusalem, or Hektish, or they ate sacred property, Sheniftin, that's already been redeemed. Or Ashamish Achal Kezayas, the waiter, ate an olive worth of bread together with everybody else. The Akuti, or a Samaritan. The Kutim were a nation that came from a place called Kuta. They were brought to Israel by Sanherib, by the Assyrians. They were initially attacked by lions, and then they found the Kohen who taught them that in the Holy Land you have to keep God's mitzvos, and they converted. According to the Tan of this Mishnah, it was a sincere conversion, and therefore they can join into a Zimun. Vakuti, all these people, Mezamnin Olav, if you have two people who ate bread and a third ate Maisa Rishon, the Trum was taken from it, a third ate Maisa Sheni or Hektish had been redeemed, a third was the Shamus, who ate a Kazayas, the third was a Kuti, they can join in and we make a Zimun. Aval Tevel, but if he ate produce that no Trumas and Maisas were separated from, for sure, not Tmai that you're of a suffix, maybe Trumas and Maisas weren't separated from. Or Maisa Rishon Shalonit Trumasa. Or what that third person had eaten was the Maisa Rishon, the 10%, where the Trumas Maisa had not been taken out of it. Or Maisa Sheni Vehektesh Shaloniftu. Or what was eaten was Maisa Sheni or Hektesh that had not been redeemed. Or Shamish Shachal Pachas Mikazayas. Or when the attendant had eaten less than a Kazayas, less than an olive worth of bread. Vanachri, or it's a non-Jew who's the third, in Mizamna Love, you can't make a Zimun with that person. What happens if you have two people eating bread? And then there's two men eating bread, and then there's a woman. Anashim, women, avadim, slaves, ktanim, minors, and mezamin aleim, they cannot join in to create a zimun. Ad kam mezam, how much does a person have to eat in order to be able to say the zimun? Ad kezayas, an olive worth of bread. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda says, ad kebetza, an egg worth of bread. Says the Gemara Minan Amili, how do we know this concept of zimun? Am Rav Asi, or how do you know the three are needed for the zimun, Rashi says. Amar Ravasi, Ravasi answered. Amar Karkas, the pasuk says, "Gadlu laHashem iti." Make great, or make great for God together with me. Unarom mashmo yachtav, and we will praise His, we will exalt His name, we will make His name big together. So that means there's a caller out, and he calls out to the group, and he says, not Gadel, not you should make God's name great, but Gadlu, the two of you, to make Hashem's name great, Iti, together with me. That means there's a total of three. Rebavah said, this is the source. The verse says, Kishem Hashem Ekra, for the name of God I will call out, and you should respond with Havu, not Hav, not in the singular tense, but Havu in the plural tense, Havu, Godel, give greatness, Leilokenu, to our Lord. Amram Chanan Bar Abba, remember, we saw earlier this verse was used to teach us that there's a mitzvah to say a bracha before you learn Torah. So you see a beautiful thing here, that the Gemara says the same bracha you say before you learn Torah, that's the bracha you should say at the end of your meal, that your meal should be an experience of learning Torah, and another experience of connecting to Hashem. Amram Chanan Bar Abba said, another thing we learn, how do we know that when if you hear a bracha from someone, you say Amen, let's say the chazan, and you're saying amen to the chazan's rendition of Shemona Esrei, you shouldn't say an amen louder than the tones that the mevarich said the bracha. Because the verse says, Gadlu l'Hashem iti, make to Hashem great, or make Hashem great together with me. So it's at the same level. Unarom mashmo, and we will exalt His name, yachtav, together. We know that in those days when they would read Torah, they would have a translator. The translator would translate the Parsha from the Hebrew into Aramaic, and he would explain it. It was the Meturgaman. He'd make sure that everybody understands it. So I didn't know that the Meturgaman shouldn't raise his voice higher than the reader. So now, because the verse says, Moshe Yidaber, Moshe would speak. This at Har Sinai. Ve'elokim, and the Lord, Yanenu Bekol, would respond to him with a voice. Now, if God's responding, clearly there's a voice. What's the idea of saying that? Why was it necessary to say in a voice? What's the teaching of saying in a voice? It means Bekolo Shel Moshe. God would respond in the same voice as Moshe. God could respond in any voice. But Elokim Yanenu, God would answer him Bekol in the same voice. So you see that the same way God would answer in the same voice, when you answer to someone who makes a bracha, it should be in the same voice. It shouldn't be louder than the one who made the bracha. I know bracha doesn't rise like this. The translator is not allowed to raise his voice higher than the one reading. And if the translator can't get his voice to as high a level as the reader, can't be ET, can't be equal voices, then yima'echa kore kol over yikra. Then the reader should lower his voice and read at a lower voice so that he and the translator are equal. As the verse says, Elokim yanenu b'kol, they would all be equal voiced. All right, now going back to the issue of Zimun. So we learned the source for Zimun. We need to have three for Zimun, either from Gadol Hashem Iti or from the verse, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel, Leilokenu. What about two? Can two people who ate bread together, can they choose to say to have a Zimun? Our Mishnah says three need to have a Zimun. But maybe two, it's an option for them to recite Birkas HaMazon with a Zimun. Itman, we learned Shnaim Shachul Kachas, two people who ate together. Pligi Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. There's an argument between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So when you see Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, you start thinking right away about Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan was the big Rosh Yeshiva, the great leader in the land of Israel. Rav was the great Torah leader in Bavel, in the Har Dah. So Chad Amar once said, Imratzu l'zameh mezameh. If two eat bread together, if they want to make a zimun, they can choose to do so. So Chad Amar, the other one said, Ratzu l'zameh, if they want to make a zimun, mezameh, they can't make a zimun. Only three can make a zimun, two cannot. Now we look at a Mishnah. Shlosh shachul kachas, if three ate together, chayav and lezame, they're obligated to make a zimun. So that sounds like shlosh ate. Three ate together, they have to make a zimun. Shnayim lo, if two ate together, they did not need to make a zimun. So why is it no? Hasam chova. Our Mishnah is only talking about the obligation. Hachreshus. Our question is there an option? Is there an option? Mishnah's not telling you that there's no option of two making a zimun. It's telling you that three, there have to be a zimun. But maybe there's an option of two also making a zimun. Tashma coming here, proof. We learned, Shlosh Shachu Kachas, if three ate together, Chayavon Lezami, they're obligated to make a Zimun, they ain't Rishayin Lechalik, and they're not allowed to break up and not have a Zimun. So again, Shlosh Shait, when you have three, then they have to make a Zimun. Shnaim Lot, with two apparently, do not need to make a Zimun. If you're going to tell me that two are allowed to make a Zimun, why can't three break up? They'll still be able to have a Zimun. So Mara says, no. Even though two could have a zimun, still three can't break up. Because Shani Asim, the Kavari Lobachova, Meikar, they've already established an obligation of zimun because they had three. So now to break up, to go to what's an optional zimun that they couldn't do. Tashma Kavanir, proof we learned. If a waiter is serving two people eating bread, even though they didn't give him permission to eat from the bread, he should eat from the bread because certainly they would like to have a zimun. He should eat with the bread. But if he's serving three and they didn't give him permission to eat the bread, he can't eat with them because maybe they don't want him to eat the bread. They want to save money. They don't need him for the zimun. They already have three. So what do you see? Unless they give him permission. So you see, if there's three, then there's a zimun. But if there's two, there's no zimun. Because if you're going to tell me that with two, also there's a zimun, so that even if a waiter is serving two, he shouldn't be able to eat bread because unless they give him permission, because maybe they don't want him to eat the bread. They certainly want him to eat the bread in order to be able to have a zimun. They don't need him to have a zimun. But two also, there's a zimun. No, says the Gemara. Again, same difference. Shani also, there's a difference. If there's only two eating bread, he can certainly eat bread, even though they didn't give him permission to eat the bread. Now turning to Menhamed Beis, and Nichalu, Mikvul Bechova, they would rather be able to have a zimun that's an obligatory zimun. When you have three, it's an obligatory zimun. When it's only two, the only one who says there's a zimun would only say it's an optional zimun. And we have a rule from a Sechel Kedushin. It's always greater to be commanded into a mitzvah than to do a mitzvah out of a choice without a sense of obligation. All right, another proof. Tashma, we learned in a brisa. Nashim, if women ate, three women ate together, Mizamnos la'atzman, they make their own zimun. The three women make a zimun. Avadim, servants, Mizamnos la'atzman, they make their own zimun. If they ate together. Nashim ve'avadim, but if it's women together with slaves, or it's, let's say, all three together, Nashim avanim uktanim, women with slaves and minors, Imratz l'zamen emezamen, if they want to combine together, they cannot combine together to make a zimun, because it might lead to immodesty, to pritzus. Now, hamei anashi, 100 women, ketrei gavri dami, that's like two men, because women are not obligated in zimun, presumably, so therefore, they have the status of two men. Sosa says, women don't create a minion, so therefore it's like two men. The Katani of the Brisa says, Nashim Mizamnos La'atzman. If the women are eating by themselves, they make their own zimun. Avadim, if slaves are eating by themselves, also Mizamnos La'atzman. So you see that even though you don't have the full three, you still can choose to make a zimun. So this should be a proof to that opinion that says that if two want to make a zimun, they can make a zimun. Does the Gemara know? Shani Asam, there it's different. When did we say that they can make a zimun when it's three? Tika Deos. You have multiple views. You have multiple intellects. You have the Kishem Hashem Ekra Havogodololokenu. You have that one calling and multiple responding. So then you can have a Zimun. But maybe two, when it's just one calling and one responding, maybe there is no option of Zimun. It's not a proof that there's an option of Zimun of two. Iyach, if that's the case, I must say, read the end of that price. Nashim ve'avadim, but a woman together with a slave, two women with one slave, even if they want to do the zimun together, they're not allowed to. Amaylo, but why not? But if you're going to say once you have three people together, so it's one calling out and two responding, then you can do a zimun. So here also it's three people together. I said no. If it's a male slave with a female woman, so we don't want them to do a zimun together because of immodesty, because the slaves generally are immodest. And with the women, things might happen. So we don't want those types of relationships to start up. But there's no proof that when you have two, you can't do a zimun. All right, again, we had the whole discussion is based on an argument between Rav and Rav Yosef. We don't really know yet who said what. We just said the Mishnah says three people who eat together make a zimun. What about if three people eat together have to make a zimun, we said. What about two? So if two people eat together, we said that when it's one opinion, they are allowed to make a zimun. But to the other opinion, they're not allowed to make a zimun. Now, to Stein, I can prove the Rav, the Amar, Rav is the one who says, Imratzu l'zamen, im zamen. If the two want to make a zimun, they can't do so. How do we know? That's Amar, Avdim Bar Yosef, Amar Rav, Avdim Bar Yosef, and Rav. Shlosh shachlu ka'achas, if three ate together, v'yatza echem en l'shut, and then before they made the zimun, one walked out from the house into the street. Korin lo, they say, hey, Zev, Zev, listen up, we're making zimun now. And without him coming back, as long as he's just listening, we say, you know, Rabbi Sina Varech, and he responds. Now, time of the Koranlo. Apparently, we need to call to him. He needs to respond. Hello, Koranlo. Lo. But if we didn't call to him, and we don't have him, we just have two, we can't make the Zimun. So you see that Rav is the one who says, when you have two, you can't make a Zimun. So I said, no, again, Shani Asim, there it was different. We originally started with an obligation of Zimun, because we had three, and since we always know we'd like to do that which is obligation better than that which is only an option. Greater is the one who's obligated and fulfills than the one who's just an option and does. That's why Rav said that if one of the three walked out, called him and have him respond, that way it'll be a Zimun of Chov, it'll be a Zimun of obligation. But maybe Rav holds that if you can't get him, then you still could do the Zimun just as an option of two. Ella, so rather the Gemara says, this time I could prove to you, the Rabbi Yochanan who the Amar, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said, Imratzu l'zamen, im zamen. And if you have two people eating together, if they want to do the zimun, they can't do so. Damar Rabbi Barchanan, Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Barchanan said, Rabbi Yochanan, Shnaim shachlu ka'achas, if two people ate together. Echad mehen, Yotzib Yochas Chavera. They get up to Birkas HaMazon. If two ate together, one can recite a blessing for his friend through Shomea Ka'ona. We asked about this, my Kamashman, what's the novel idea that a person can fulfill the obligation for his friend through reciting Birkas HaMazon to his friend? Shama v'lo ana. If somebody hears the blessing of his friend without answering, amen, yatzis yotze because of shomea ka'ona. So that's already in a brisos. What do we need Rabbi Yochanan for? Rabbi Zeir said, the reason Rabbi Yochanan must say like this, lo mashayim birkas hazim b'nei. If two people are eating, one can recite the blessing of his friend, he can recite birkas hamazon, but there's no zimun between them. So you see that according to Rabbi Yochanan, when it's two, you can't have a zimun. Testayim, that is a good proof. Amli Rava Bar Avuna l'Ravunas. Rava Bar Avuna said to Ravuna, I understand. We know Rabbi Yochanan was the teacher of Israel. But Rabbana doesn't mean my Rava Amri. We know that the rabbis, when they come from Israel to Bavel, they say, if two people eat bread, if they want to make a zimun, they can. They don't have to. Three eat bread together, need to make a zimun. But if two come, they can. So my love to Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan. If that's what the rabbis of Israel say, must be they heard it from Rabbi Yochanan. So must be that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that two eat bread are allowed to make a zimun. Says the Gemara, look, Yishmielu Merav, they heard it from Rav. But Rav's the rabbi in Bavel. Before he was in Bavel, he was in Israel. And they heard it from him in Israel before he went to Bavel. And then when they come from Israel to Bavel, they're still saying the option of Zimun exists with two. Mekami the Nachas LeBavel, they heard it from Rav before he had come to Bavel. So I saw here, we're at the two dots on Nemhamed Beis. I saw here a thought from Rav Yosef Engel. Rav Yosef Engel is one of the great Torah giants in the end of the 19th century. He was also a great Kabbalist. He said, if we're supposed to have three, why would there be an idea that you could have two? Mm-hmm. So he says, you'll find that throughout Jewish law, many times you can be missing one. When you're missing one, it's not counted as missing. For example, we know that women are not obligated in time-bound mitzvahs, a mitzvah that's limited to a certain time. What about pruravu? So there are verses that women are exempt from pruravu. Why do we need verses? Let's say it's a time-bound mitzvah. It doesn't always exist, the mitzvah pruravu, because on Yom Kippur, there's no mitzvah pruravu. There's a prohibition of tashmish hamita. It's a mitzvah that's only one day a year. Missing one doesn't count as missing. So we have this idea in the Kabbalah that whenever they do a gematria, if they're one off, it's not considered missing. So the idea is that the Kabbalah teaches that there is the each piece, and then all the pieces together also counts as a number. It's called the kolel. So for example, you have the gematria can be one off because maybe you say the yud is 10 and the hey is 5 and the vav is 6 and the next day is 5. So that equals 26. And you say, and the four letters all together, they're coming together, all together as a unit that also counts as something. So that makes the kolel, that gives you an added one. So that's the idea here. Really, you're supposed to have three. You're supposed to have three. But when you have two, you have one and a second. And the two together, that also counts as something. They're each one individually counts, and then the group together counts. That gets you to three. That's why there was an opinion that you could be missing one. We're going to see soon that there's also an opinion that even in regards to 10, you can be missing one. You can have 9, but that can be missing one. No one ever said that 8 that looks like 10 could count as 10. But there is an idea that you could be missing one because the kolel, that which includes them all together, also counts as one. In fact, the Yerushalmi says that this question of whether two can make a zimun, this machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, whether two have the option of making a zimun, is the same machlokas whether two dayanim can judge a case. Do you need three dayanim for a case? Or can you b'di'evit also do it with two? What's the comparison between dayanim and zimun? But if we're going to say that the idea here is that when you have two, maybe it's as if you have three, because you can always be one off in a number, because the kolel also counts as a number, and you can say it applies here and applies to dayanim also.
So if you're 9 people,
we're going to see it doesn't really work. Again, it's an argument, but we're going to see that lahalacha 9 doesn't work. You need to have 10. All right, the two dots, man, man, with bays. Goofy, we learned before. Amar Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, Amar Rav, Rav Dimi Bar Yosef, in the name of Rav. If three eat together, and one goes out before benching to the market, they call out to him, Zev, listen up, and they include him in the Zimun. And Abaya said, who the Karlei Bani? It has to be that he's not too far. They call him, he has to be able to respond. And Marzucha said, we didn't say this, there's only two with three. With three, you can have a Zimun even though they're not all here. But if we want to have the Zimun of 10, of Nevarech Lelokeinu Shachanam Yishalo, Adonai, he has to come back to us. Maskel Ravashi said, Adrab, the opposite. Ibcham is star, but the opposite makes sense. Tisha Nirin Kasara. If you have 9 in the room and 1 out in the street, that should work because it looks like 10. In 10, if it looks like 10, it should be good enough. Shnayim, but if it's 2 in the room and 1 out on the street, Einir and Kishlosh, it doesn't look like 3. However, Vilchasad Halach is in fact like Marzutra, that if you want to have the Zeman of 10, they have to all be here. You can't just be calling to the person out on the street. The Zeman of 3 can include the one out on the street. My time, why does 10 all have to be here? The answer is given the Boil at Kuya Shem Shamayim, since we have to mention the name of God, but for less than 10 people actually here mentioning the name of God, Lav Orach Ara, it is not respectful in the way of the world. All right. Talking about a Zimun. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, where are Memhamed Beis? Nikitinon, we paskin. Shnaim Shachu Kachas. If 2 people ate together, mitzvah lechalek. It's a mitzvah for them to separate and each one recite his own blessing, both for Amotzi and for Birkas Hamazon. Like this, if 2 people are eating together, mitzvah lechalek, it's a mitzvah to separate for the brachos. When is this true? Kishneim sofer, when they're both experts. Aval echad sofer v'echad bor. But if one is an expert and one doesn't know anything, sofer mavarech, the sofer should recite the blessing aloud, ubor yotze, and the one who's ignorant should fulfill his obligation through shomea ka'ona. Amar Rav, Rav said, Amil samrita ana, this matter I said, and then in the land of Israel, I heard that they said this as the halacha in the name of Reb Zera. What was this idea that I said that I found out later that Reb Zera also says? If 3 eat bread together, echad mafsik b'shnayim. So let's say 3 people are eating bread together, 2 finished, they want a bench, and the 3rd is still in the middle of his meal. He should stop middle of his meal to be able to respond to them, to enable them to make the zimun. However, let's say 1 finished. He wants to bench and get away. Do other 2 have to stop their meal to respond to 1? No. Ain't shnayim afsikin le'achad. The 2 don't have to stop for the 1. He needs to wait till they finish. And then he can bench with them.
We cannot do a quick benching, and you know, if he's in a rush or something.
He's got to wait for them. It's respectful. Now, ask the Gemara, Velo, is that really true that the 2 don't stop for the 1? But Rav Papa, we know that Rav Papa, if sekile la abba marbre, yuvachad. Rav Papa was eating with somebody else and with Abba Mar, his son. Abba Mar finished before Rav Papa and the other guest. And Rav Papa and the other guests stopped their meal in the middle to respond to the zimun of Abba Mar. I said, Shani Rav Papa. Rav Papa was different. He went beyond the letter of the law. He was nicer. He was being the nice person. Went beyond the letter of the law. Even 2 can stop. But they don't have to. You have to stop only 1. This is talk about Derech Eretz. Just respect. You know, 1 should respect 2. 2 don't need to respect 1. That should be the way it is. Yehuda bar Mareimar. Yehuda the son of Mareimar. And Mar bar Ravashi. And Rav Achan Adifti, Karchi Rifti, they were eating bread, they had with each other. They didn't have 1 who was greater than the others. So they all felt each other's equal. Yehuda felt he was like Mar, and Mar felt he was like Rav Achan. They were all equals. They said, can we have a Zimun? Right? The Zimun is that 1 calls out to the others. Gadul Hashemiti, like Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, exalt God with me. But here we're all equals. So, they didn't have 1 who was much greater than the others to make a blessing for them. I mean, they said, if 3 people eat together, they're obligated to say a zimun. Maybe that's only when there's 1 who's greater than the others. But when they're all equal to each other, maybe it's better that they each divide up for themselves and each one recite his own blessing. And therefore, ubarach inishlan avshay. So that's what they did. Each one recited their own blessing. Then I was looking at Mareimar. Then they came in front of Mareimar. Mareimar said to them, Yedei brachi yitzasa. Okay, you fulfilled your obligation of Birkas Hamazon, because each one said his own Birkas Hamazon. Yedei zimun lo yitzasa. But you didn't fulfill the obligation that when 3 eat together, there's supposed to be a zimun. You're supposed to make the Birkas Hamazon a better Birkas Hamazon through a call and answer, through a gadol hashamiti, through an invitation, and everybody responding. So you can say, okay, well, now let's go do the zimun. Too late. Once you're already benched, you can't do the zimun. Ain't zimun l'mafreya. There's no role of zimun after the fact. After it was done, retroactively, you can't now say, oh, let's have a zimun. All right. But another law. Let's say somebody comes to the market. He hasn't eaten. And he finds people, k'shein mevarchan. They're already saying the zimun. What does he respond to the Zimun? Rav Zvid Amar, he says, Baruch Mavorach. Rav Abba Amar, he says, Ami. It's not an argument. If they're saying Nevarach Shachan Mishlo, and he walks in, he says, Baruch Mavorach. And if they're already responding, they're saying Baruch Shachan Mishlo to Bochayinu, he just says, Amen. Ashkechinu Zakamri Nevarach, if he comes in and they're first making the invitation, they're saying Nevarach Shachan Mishlo. So he says, Baruch Umavorach. But if he comes in after they made the invitation of Nevarach Shachan Mishlo, they're already responding with Baruch Shachan Mishlo to Ochayinu, and he responds with Amen. Yes, the one who we ate from him and from his goodness we lived should be blessed. Amen. He responds with Amen. Tani Chadu Lundin one brisa. Amen. Achav Yerchosav Reizim Meshubach. If somebody says Amen after his own brachos, that's a good thing. Tani Dich Lundin another brisa. Reizim Meguna. It's a terrible thing if he says Amen after his own brachos. It's like Marlokash, it's not a contradiction. How about Boni Rishalayim? In benching, when you say Boni Rishalayim, afterwards you should say Amen, because we want to distinguish between the first three brachos of benching, which are biblical, and the fourth bracha, Tov HaMeitiv, which doesn't have a verse, it's only rabbinic. Ha, Bishar brachos. But if he says Amen after some other brachos, it's not a good thing, because there's no point of distinguishing between them, those brachos and the others. Abai Anilei Bekal, Abai used to say the Amen after Boni Rishalayim very loudly. So that the workers who are benching with them should hear and get up and go to their work. Because they're only exempt from doing work when they're doing the biblical benching. But once they finish the biblical blessings, they should not recite the rabbinic blessing. Rather, they should do their work. And he wanted to publicize that fourth blessing, is not biblical. Ravashi would respond softly to the Boni Yerushalayim. He would say the Amen softly. Because he didn't want people to think that the blessing of Atov HaMeitiv is not important. So they should know that there's a big difference. This is biblical, that's rabbinic. So he didn't want them to discount it. That's why he would whisper the Amen after Bonei Yerushalayim.
If you have two people ate bread and one didn't, is it better to ask him to participate?
So if he ate a mezonos, we're going to see that later, but if he ate a mezonos, he can already participate.